Going up? That may be the question you get asked as you step into an elevator. Rashi is going to ask that question on a verse in our parasha this week and gives us quite an interesting explanation. The verse has to do with the story of Yehuda and Tamar. We know that Yehuda was one of the 12 tribes. He had three sons. He marries his first son to a woman called Tamar. The son dies. He then marries the same woman to his second son, following the practice of Yibum, and that son dies. And then he says, hang on, you're not going to marry my third son. Let's wait and see what happens. Meantime, she's sitting, waiting, mourning, and nothing seems to happen until Yehuda himself loses his wife, and then Tamar hatches a plan to actually father children from Yehuda, if not from his son. B'pirush al ha'pasuk v'yugal l'tamar v'goymer, quoting the pasuk that says Tamar was told that her father-in-law was on his way up to a place called Timnah in order to shear his sheep. So matik Rashi ateves oyle Timnah. So Rashi extracts two words out of the pasuk oyle, that he's going up to this place called Timnah. Umeforish explains as follows: Shimshon oymer vayered Shimshon v'goymer. It's interesting to note, says Rashi, that when we come across Shimshon in the book of Judges, Shoftim, and Shimshon also goes to Timnah, there it tells us he went down to Timnah. Here it says Yehuda went up to Timnah. So it says there, Vayered Shimshon v'goyma Timnah. So Rashi explains, B'shipua ha'har hoysi yesheves oylen lo mikan v'yored lo mikan. So Rashi says it's because of the location of Timnah. It was a city built on the slope of a mountain. Depending on where you came from, you either ascended the mountain like Yehuda did to get to Timnah, or you descended the mountain like Shimshon did in order to get to Timnah. Now, but there are a number of things that immediately grab our attention. We have to understand about what Rashi is doing over here. First of all, Aleph. Haloi stirazoi mi vayered Shimshon v'goyma sherashim yashba pirushoi misereres v'yeshna kfar al loshin ha'posuk shelifnei zeh shegam shom ne'emar v'yal v'goyma Timnasa. If we're worried that over here it describes that Yehuda goes up to Timnah, and that contradicts the fact that by Shimshon it says he went down to Timnah, this is an issue we should have thought of in the previous pasuk. Because the previous pasuk says that he, Yehuda, went up to shear his sheep in a place called Timnah. See, that already says he goes up to Timnah. So if that's a problem, Rashi should have addressed it in the previous pasuk. So whatever Rashi tells us in this pasuk, logically he actually should have mentioned rather earlier in the previous pasuk. Why wait until now? Question number two, Beis. Considering that Rashi explains things at a level that is pshat, the simplest understanding, and suitable for a five-year-old who should be learning the Chumash. So if that's the case, that helps you understand that Rashi's intention is to tackle any issues which the five-year-old student might find difficult when he reads this pasuk. Now, obviously, he's only going to find things difficult if they're glaring in this pasuk, or if he's previously learned something, and that raises the question for him. But it's uncommon for Rashi to tackle a question which is not present in the pasuk. In other words, this five-year-old studying this pasuk can be blissfully unaware of the fact that there might be any issues, because the pasuk makes sense. And yet later, much, much later, when he learns the book of Shoftim, that's when he'll have a question: why should Rashi have to address it now? Just to be more specific, if you read this pasuk at face value, that Tamar hears that her father-in-law is going to a particular destination, there's nothing difficult about it. There's nothing that rings bells in the student's head. And the only issue we may have is that many years down the line, when this student eventually reaches the book of Shoftim, he'll say, whoa, hang on a second, why is Shimshon going down to Timnah? I remember that Yehuda went up to Timnah. Why is Rashi addressing this contradiction here when the student is still unaware of the other reference? He should have waited until the book of Shoftim and commented there, when the student now has a comparison to make. And lastly, question three, Gimel, Lama leid Rashi laharich b'lashon shepitach zadug l'chol proteo k'yodua v'loimar over Shimshon hu oimer. And then Rashi is very precise in the wording that he chooses in his commentaries, and he's generally succinct. So look at what Rashi does up here. He says, And with regards to Shimshon, it says that Shimshon went down to Timnah. Can you see the tautology there? You don't have to tell me the word Shimshon twice. Skip the first part. And with regards to Shimshon, it says, it seems that you're just using superfluous language. Considering that Rashi is going to quote a pasuk that has the name of the person Shimshon and the place Timnah, surely he could have used a much shorter expression and just said, and Shimshon went down to Timnah, and we'd get the point. Why does Rashi have to introduce it with, and with regards to Shimshon, it says, that seems altogether superfluous. Okay, so that's what we want to know. We want to know, why does Rashi only tackle the question now, and not the first time that we're told Yehuda goes up to Timnah? Why is Rashi tackling it at all, if the student doesn't yet even know that this is an issue? And why does he extend the introduction by saying, and with regards to Shimshon, it says? Now, what's interesting is Rashi is not the only person who picks up this issue and discusses it. The Gemara in Sota does as well. And the Gemara there gives three possible answers as to why it says with regards to Shimshon that he went down and Yehuda he went up. And then, of course, we want to know, why did Rashi pick one of the three? Why this specific one? With regards to this apparent contradiction between different psukim here and in Shoftim as to whether you go up or down to Timnah, the Gemara offers three possible explanations. Number one, Shimshon shenis ganebo peshashi shenosim ibno isplishim asuras loiksi beyirida. First explanation the Gemara suggests is Shimshon didn't only physically go down to Timnah, but his whole spiritual status dropped when he went to Timnah because he married Philistine women that were forbidden to him. Whereas Yehuda shenis alabo pirshashi shemisham noldu peretz v'zerach shemidum lochem inavim b'yisrok si be'aliyah. Whereas Yehuda, when he gets to Timnah, the direct impact of that is he has two children, and they become the ancestors of kings and prophets. So he's elevated. Oh, we get it now. The Torah is not describing the physical direction that they moved, the altitude. It's describing what happened to them spiritually. That's one suggestion the Gemara offers. Number two, another possibility the Gemara says, there were actually two places called Timnah. One was up a hill and one was down in a valley. So if you go to the one Timnah, you go up, and you go to the other Timnah, you go down. And then lastly, and the third option that the Gemara suggests is that there's one place called Timnah. It's on a slope. Depending where you come from, either it's a descent or an ascent. You'll notice Rashi says it the other way around. That's obvious because the Gemara there was actually talking about Shimshon. So the first case it deals with is the person who went down the mountain. So it first talks about the option of going down to Timnah. Whereas over here, Rashi is commenting on the story of Yehuda, which is a person who went up to Timnah. And so therefore, the first option he suggests is that you go up the mountain. So our question is, Madua bocha Rashi betir tashlishi shebi Gemara, uvamehu adif v'shnei atirutzi makoid mimloi, me'achshagei muzborim l'cher al derech hapshat. So our question is, out of three possible answers, why does Rashi dafka select the third one? That the Timnah is on a slope. Surely we could have accommodated any of the others in the immediate context of the psukim. For example, let's go with the first one, which says that it's a statement not so much about where you move and if you're going up or down in elevation, but rather whether you're going up and down in stature. So we know that shortly before this, we're told, Vayered Yehuda Meisechav, that after the story of selling Yosef, which was Yehuda's suggestion, Yehuda kind of demoted or was demoted by his brother. So he went through a spiritual decline. And now that he's going to father the progenitor of King David and eventually Moshiach, he is going to spiritually uplift. So the words would fit. Likewise, if you say that there are two Timnahs, well, that fits very well with Pshat, because in the book of Yehoshua it says clearly that there are two places called Timnah. So that would work. So you can't tell me that Rashi chose this one because it's the nearest to Pshat, because in fact, the others would fit nicely within the Pshat. And even though Gemara is not Pshat, logically you could say, when the Gemara offers three explanations, it goes from the most obvious to the least obvious. So why is Rashi chosen number three? That might appear to be least obvious. Right, as we're going to see now. Generally speaking, we have to assume that the order in which suggestions of what the pasuk means are given must be, we start with the one that is the most likely, the simplest, the smoothest. ואם כן לא יעשה תומו, דווקא רשי, המפורש לפי פשוטו של מקרה מי ומדף סתיר האחרון, so it's quite strange then that Rashi, who of course always looks for the pshat, the simplest explanation, chooses the third explanation, which logically is probably the least simple explanation. So why does he do that? Vahbir b'chol zeh, the explanation of the whole thing, will be based on one concept, one issue that we have to address. Namely, בפירוש של רשי על הפסוק שלפנינו, אין המכוון או יקרי בו ליישב אז הסתיר ללשון אוילה נאמר גבי יהודים ללשון וירי בשמשן, מכיוון שאין התלמוד יודע עדיין מסתיר הזו. Well, we've already pointed out that if you think what's bothering Rashi here is the fact that there seems to be a contradiction between our pasuk that says Yehuda went up to Timna and a pasuk that's only coming much later in the book of Shoftim, which says that Shimshon went down to Timna, that's a far-fetched reason why Rashi should address this. As we've already said, Rashi doesn't do that. Rashi doesn't tackle issues that will only become issues much later on. So there has to be something about the wording in and of itself that bothers Rashi, not just in the context of other wording with regards to Timna. Rashi is bothered by this expression, oile timnosa, that Yehuda's going up to Timna, that bothers Rashi, and for a very obvious reason, actually, once you think about it. Why is it relevant to the story? The story is telling us that Tamar hears where Yehuda is going. Why is it relevant that in order to get there, he has to go up? All she needs to know is, where is he headed? The particular route that he takes, and whether it's an uphill or downhill route, doesn't add, apparently, to the story. Story is she just hears where he's going to be. That's what bothers Rashi. Kloimar, lama medayach hakosav shugel tamar ki chamia oile timnosa. That's what Rashi wants to know. Why does the Torah feel that it is necessary for us to know that Tamar was told he's going up in order to get to Timna? How is it relevant to what the story is going to pan out, what's going to happen next? How is it relevant that Yehuda is going uphill in order to get to Timna? Should it be relevant? Uphill, downhill, straight, makes no difference. All we need to know is Tamar was alerted as to where Yehuda is going to be and what he's going to do there. He's going to shear his sheep. In fact, we have precedent in the story of the Akedah where we know clearly that they were going to go up. They were going up a mountain. That was a clear instruction. And yet the Torah doesn't feel that it has to overemphasize the fact that they went up in order to reach that destination. In the case of the Akedah where Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak to sacrifice him on the mountain. So, and this is something that Shekvar Lomda Talmud. That's something that the student is already familiar with. So that's good because it helps the student to know it's not ordinary for the Torah to tell us whether you go up or down in order to get to a destination. Torah just tells us that you go towards a destination. So there what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Avram. Let's look at the story of the Akedah. How does it work? Hashem tells Avram Avinu as follows. V'haleu v'goymer alachad ha'horim. Take Yitzchak up onto one of the mountains. Okay, that's logical because it's telling us it's a mountain. So the correct verb that you use is go up. But then straight afterwards it says, and Avram went to the place. It doesn't say, and Avram ascended to the place, even though that is what was going to happen. They went up a mountain. The Torah doesn't feel that it has to tell us that. It's not relevant to the story. Once we know it's a mountain, move on with it. Just say, went from point A to point B. You don't have to tell me that it was an incline. In spite of the fact that that's how it was. For very simple, obvious reason. Because the story is about Avraham Avinu's dedication to do what Hashem said, not about the route that he took or the fact that it was uphill. It's irrelevant information, so the Torah doesn't tell it to us. And surely it should be the same logic in our case. So surely the same thing should have happened here. It doesn't appear relevant to the story that in order for Yehuda to reach Timna, he had to go up. So the Torah shouldn't have said it. The Torah should have said, "Vayugad leTamar." It was told to Tamar that hinei chamich hoylech timnasa. Look, your father-in-law is going to Timna. Why oile? That's what's bothering Rashi. Why does the Torah feel that it's important for us to know that he's going up the mountain?
Well,
Whereas in the preceding pasuk, when we were told that Yehuda went up to Timnah to shear his sheep, there the issue is not an issue for us. The fact that the Torah says it for us has good reason. Because in the previous pasuk, we could say the Torah is telling us something. The Torah is telling us that this direction, this movement that Yehuda was going to make now, would actually elevate him. He'd become a more important person, the father of the lineage of kings. He'd be elevated again spiritually. He'd be the father of prophets. As we've already discussed, this would fit with Pshat. Because previously the Torah already told us that Yehuda was demoted. That wasn't a physical movement from a higher plane to a lower altitude. That was a spiritual demotion. He was a great person, the king amongst his brothers, and he was downgraded. So we already know that. And therefore, it would make sense to understand that the Torah is now telling us he was re-elevated. So it works perfectly that the Torah should be telling, hey, remember that Yehuda went down from his greatness? Well, this is the story that is about to reinstate him to his greatness. It's going to lift him again. So, oiletim nasa. Now, there's a big difference between the pasuk where the Torah tells us what happens to Yehuda, as we're about to see, versus the way that it's told to Tamar, for very clear and obvious reasons. When the previous pasuk told us, fact, here's the story, it's the narrator speaking. The narrator is a third party, i.e. the Torah, who has inside information. The Torah knows that this is a story that's going to lead to Yehuda's greatness, so therefore the Torah can say, Vayal, he's going up. This is a story of Yehuda going up. And that fits the Pshat, because it's juxtaposed with the fact that previously he went down. It's the Torah who has the insight to know this information, who's predicting it. And it works perfectly. There's no question. Rashi has no questions why the previous pasuk said that he went up to Timnah. It's fine. It's the Torah telling us this is about to be a promotion for Yehuda. Whereas our pasuk, it's an individual speaking face to face to Tamar, telling her information that he knows. This individual, this anonymous individual. And obviously he can only share the information that he knows. So now what we're seeing is a quotation from whoever the reporter was that informed Tamar, her father-in-law, is going to Timnah. That guy cannot be talking about the, you know what's going to happen now? Hey, Tamar, you know what's going to happen? Yehuda is about to be promoted to higher spiritual status. How would he know this? This is just an ordinary eyewitness who saw Yehuda's movements. Obviously, he wouldn't know this information. So if that's the case, we're back to square one. Why is it relevant in this interchange to know that Yehuda is going uphill in order to get to Timnah? He's not talking about the spiritual upgrade of Yehuda, because this messenger wouldn't have known that information. And apparently it's irrelevant to know that in order to get to Timnah, you've got to go up. So why is the Torah saying it? This is what bothers Rashi. And that's what Rashi is going to explain. So in order to answer this, Rashi first tells us, and with regards to Shimshon, it says, and Shimshon went down. Why does he say, and with regards to Shimshon? Once Rashi is going to go through the details of explaining how exactly there is this contradiction between two different sources, one with regards to Shimshon, and we'll still talk about why he has to say, Shimshon hu oimer. But there it says that he went down, and here it says he went up. So Rashi's alerting us to the fact that there's information about this place called Timnah that you wouldn't have known otherwise. You wouldn't have known the geographical location, the topography of the area. You wouldn't have known that until I alert you to what it says about Shimshon. And based on that, I can answer the question that's bugging you. Why does it have to tell us that in order to get to Timnah, you've got to go up? So what Rashi does is he builds a picture for us. Look, Vashimshon, it says you go down to Timna. Here it's telling us you go after Timna. The only way that Rashi chooses to explain it can't be talking about the spiritual status, because the messenger would never have known that. And the fact that there are two Timnas, we'll see why that's not a good enough answer shortly. So Rashi goes with the answer that it's because Timna is on the slope of the mountain, and that information is going to be relevant for Tamar. Now that I know there are two possible approaches to get to Timna, either you start at the top of the mountain, you go down, or you start at the bottom of the mountain, you go up to get to Timna, now I know why the Torah had to specify in the message to Tamar which route Yehuda is taking. Because remember, Tamar needs this information because she wants to intercept Yehuda, and she has a plan. So in order for her to fulfill her plan, she needs to know which road is he on. Just to know generically that he's going to Timna isn't good enough. Is he on the uphill road from the valley, or is he on the downhill road from the top of the hill? Based on that information, she'll know where she needs to go to ambush him and fulfill her objective, which is to have a son from Yehuda. So now the information is relevant. We have to know where he's going in order for her to facilitate her plan. Which obviously resolves why Rashi did not prefer the explanation that there are two places called Timna. Because Rashi is not trying to resolve a contradiction between Shimshon and us. He used the apparent contradiction to get to a point where he could give us a description that would be useful for our understanding of the pasuk. The reason Rashi doesn't really have to sweat over the apparent contradiction between the two psukim is because the student doesn't really know this yet. As we've already illustrated, Rashi's primary issue is why does it say going up? To tell us that the two timnas wouldn't answer that question. So why are you saying go up? The answer going up is only relevant if Timna is in the middle of the slope of the pathway up the mountain, and this is important information for Tamar to know which direction is Yehuda headed in order to get to Timna. And let's explain this further. Now, if you wanted to go with the two Timna option, right, that's one of the explanations the Gemara gives, it's actually two places called Timna, and Tamar needs to know which one he's headed to, it's actually not going to work. Why? So we're going to look at three different reasons why it's not logical to say, well, maybe the one Timna was on top of a mountain and the other one was in a valley, and by saying Oile, we now know which Timna he's going to, the one on top of the mountain. That would not work for three reasons. Aleph, number one. Because if you've got, like in Israel today, you've got Beitar and Beitar Elit, Nazaret, Nazaret Elit. In other words, you've got the town and then you've got the upper town, right? That's how it's referred to. And even in the book of Yoshua, we see that we have Choron Tachton and Choron Elion, the higher Choron, base Choron, and the lower base Choron. So if you wanted to say the higher Timna, that's what you would say. Timna Elyon. That's where he's going. Timna Elyona. That's where he's going. Not Oile Timnasa. He's going up generically to Timna. So that's the first reason that we can't say there were two Timnas. And that's what the Pasuk wants to resolve here. Number two. The fact that the messenger speaking to Tamar just said simply he's going up to Timna without specifying this Timna, that the northern Timna, the southern Timna, the upper Timna, the lower Timna, he just says Timna, that implies that she knows exactly which Timna it is, and the question is only which route is he taking. And lastly, most logically, the two Timnas are in different places, different regions, different parts of the land. And so the way that you explain which Timna it is not by saying going up. You should say the close Timna or the far Timna. So all of that tells us that the word oile implies we know which Timna it is, we know which city it is that Yehuda is going to. The information that Tamar requires is which route is he taking in order to get there. But there's a big, big, big problem that this commentary raises, and we haven't yet tackled that problem. It's a very serious and it's quite a practical problem. That's what's beautiful about a sikha like this. You see, the Rebbe takes such a practical approach and says, okay, this is all very nice in context, and you're reading words in psukim, but is it practical in real life? It's all very nice to say that Timna was a city on the slope of the mountain, but that is so unusual. In fact, the Gemara, when it offers this explanation, actually brings examples, because the Gemara anticipates that you'll say, who builds a city on a slope? Either you build at the top of the mountain or at the bottom of the mountain, and the Rebbe is going to explain the logic behind each choice, but in the middle of the mountain seems illogical. So Yeshua bonim ir b'roish ahar. Dainim Yeshua bin Yosef shalir kosei kshur b'kshoyim shoynim tichir rabba ba'lo sarcha bin roish ahar t'noi avoida shama v'chulei. Some people build a city dafka at the top of the mountain, even though it's incredibly difficult in the first place to build such a city, both in terms of getting the materials there and working in that environment. Plus, v'gam yigor achelka b'ispatchos ha-mischor v'kishoreh ha-shenim im ha-yoros ha-cheres v'chulei mitzad ha-koishi o-aliyah b'shipu'e sholohor ha-mamatis o-irma ha-shom b'irzoi. And then even once the city is established, you limit your opportunities for business, because nobody's schlepping up the mountain to do business with you, to offer you their wares. So why would a person build a city on top of a mountain if it's got so many challenges? Challenges in the construction, challenges in inhabiting the place, encouraging people to want to live there, challenges in terms of business, challenges in terms of interaction with other cities. So why do you do this? Im kol ze, lefomim mevatem al chesrenes and al bevoichem livnei stafke bereish ahor mishum ha-yisrin shebo ze, be'inyan ha-agona. Why do people choose to do it? Because yes, there are certain things that you have to compromise, but security is supreme on top of a mountain, especially in those days. The kind of weaponry and military tactics that they had, one of the best forms of defense was to be on top of a mountain. You've always got the upper hand, literally, over your enemies when you're at the top of a mountain. So why do people opt to build cities on mountaintops? For security. And other people say that's exactly why we don't build a city on top of a mountain, because yes, we'll have to invest more in our security, but at least we can live, we can trade, we can do business, we can interact with other people. And so typically what you find is cities prefer either mountains or valleys. Now, let's say you choose to build a city on the slope of a mountain, you have all of the issues and none of the benefits. You've got, why would you build a city in such a place? You don't have the security of being on top of the mountain, and you don't have the freedom of trade of being at the bottom of the mountain, and your city is everybody on top of each other because you're built on a slope. So it's highly uncommon. And that's the big gaping hole in this pshat. You're trying to tell me that it's pshat that Timna was built on a slope. But logically, it seems far from pshat, because who would want to do such a thing? So surely then, if it's logical that people don't want to build on slopes of mountains, and they prefer either the top or the bottom of the mountain, why do we just say Timna was at the top of the mountain, and the word going up has different possible explanations depending on the context? So, l'shon oyla b'Yehuda pirush aliyah kipshut b'gashmis kiyav shadafosh bruchas mitam anal b'siv dalet. So when Yehuda goes to Timna, well, Timna's on top of a mountain, so he's going up the mountain. Why? Because that's practical. He's practically going to Timna. He's practically going up the mountain. We're not addressing his spiritual state, because that's already tackled in the previous example. We're not looking at two possible Timnas because we've already, previous pasuk. We're not looking at two Timnas because we've already illustrated that that's not going to help us understand the word oile, because that wouldn't be the mark of which Timna you're going to. So the only option is to say he's physically going up the mountain. But in the story of Shimshon, there it's the narration of the Torah, who of course knows and can describe how this particular move is going to impact Chimshon spiritually. So yes, he's physically climbing a mountain, and at the same time he's spiritually declining because he's going to engage with Plishti women, and that's going to be bad for him. So how is Rashi so convinced that we're talking about a Timna that is built on the slope of a mountain when that seems such an unlikely prospect? And we have another way to explain it, that the oil or yurid is contextual. So how does Rashi illustrate to us why he has to say that, as far-fetched as it is, Timna was built on a slope? That's why Rashi says, and with regards to Shimshon, it says he went down to Timna. In other words, it's not just once in the book of, well, in the story of Shimshon, it's not just once that it says he goes down to Timna, because if it was just once, you could say, well, that one time was his spiritual decline, but it doesn't. Over Shimshon hu Oimer implies that in the entire story of Shimshon, he's consistently going down to Timna and then up from Timna. And not every time is necessarily a spiritual decline or a spiritual recovery when he leaves. So in other words, Rashi indicates that the expression going down to Timna is used multiple times in the story of Shimshon. You can't say every single time he declined further spiritually and further spiritually. So therefore, in the case of Shimshon, you have to say that it means literally, that Shimshon lived at the top of this mountain where Timna was partway down the mountain, and so every time he visited Timna, he literally went down the mountain. Which forces us to conclude that this place, Timna, was on a slope of a mountain. As far-fetched as that might be, fact is stranger than fiction. And so Rashi has resolved all of our issues. In the first pasuk, it's describing a spiritual elevation that Yehuda would experience by giving birth to Peretz. In the second pasuk, it's telling us physically that he went up the mountain. That's an issue because Shimshon clearly goes down the mountain, and that's why Rashi has to tell us it's talking about a mountain, that a city that is on the slope of a mountain. So what could it teach us? I don't know if you've ever climbed a mountain. I'm not talking about just walking up a slope or an incline. Climbed a mountain, like a real mountain. The most incredible thing about climbing a mountain is that it's impossible. If it's a real mountain, it's impossible. You feel at times that your body is going to collapse. And so you have only one choice. And whoever guides you up that mountain tells you, you only have one choice. Keep going. Because the minute you stop, you feel the cramping of your muscles. And it's that much more difficult to push yourself to continue, and you may not be able to do so at all. And then you have only one choice, which is to go down the mountain. So what's the deeper lesson and the personal take home from this Rashi for all of us? It's explained elsewhere in Chassidus, the pasuk in Tilim that says, who shall go up the mountain of Hashem means that generally speaking, us serving Hashem, wanting to connect to Hashem, is comparable to wanting to climb a mountain. If you're climbing a mountain, you cannot stop for an extended period on the slope, because the likelihood is that you will slip and fall. The only way to climb a mountain is to keep climbing. It's factual. That's the reality. The only way to climb a mountain is to keep moving upwards. So it's exactly the same with approaching Hashem. You have to keep moving upwards. Not just because that's important and valuable to keep moving upwards, but because it's the only way to ensure you don't slip downwards. That is a spiritual fact. Spiritual growth is walking up the down escalator. Stop means you go down. And therefore we can never afford to rest on our laurels and say, wow, I've achieved such great things in terms of my Yiddishkeit, my connection to Hashem, my learning, my growth, my spirituality. The minute you do that, you're already slipping down. That's how it works. We see this emphasized in Chanukah, which obviously is always around the time of this parish of Ayeshev. When it comes to Chanukah licht, you have to increase every single night. If like the Gemara says, the reason for it is because when it comes to elements of holiness, Kedusha, you have to always elevate and never decline. So if you don't, for example, on night number two, light a second licht, not only have you not increased, you've gone backwards. Because yesterday you were performing a Mahadran act, and today you're not. So you've actually gone backwards. You haven't just not had the achievement of the day, you've lost out on what you had achieved yesterday. So therefore Chanukah emphasizes for us that if you want to retain the same level of hiddur, of beautiful dedication to Torah that you had yesterday, the only way to do it is if today has a little more. Rashi alludes to that in this week's parasha. Rashi alludes to it, that going up or down in Timna is because Timna is on a slope. To teach us, when you are on an incline, when you are on a slope, you're always moving. You're either going up or you're going down. There is no static position. And in our Yiddishkeit, we are either working to go up or we are naturally sliding down. There is no static position in spirituality and Judaism. Just like when Yehuda went up that mountain, which in the previous pasuk was told to us is an aliyah. He was growing in his Yiddishkeit. And what was the direct result of that growth? Peretz, the forebear of Mashiach. So when each of us climbs our personal mountain successfully, without slipping, without stopping, without pause, that is the catalyst to bring Moshiach, who will lishpoit es har Esav, who will, so to speak, judge and vanquish the mountain of Esav, and then voice Hashem amlucha, Hashem will be in sole control of the world. Melucha, by the way, is a very beautiful kind of leadership. It's the leadership that people embrace and want. It will be a world of consciousness of Hashem. How? Just simply by us pushing consistently to keep on going further up that mountain. And let me tell you something from climbing a mountain. You get to the top one step at a time. There's no running. There's no jumping. You don't have to do any of these fancy things. You just have to put one foot in front of the other and make one step in the right direction. And you amaze yourself at where you go.